Today is exactly 46 years when Ghana experienced its first ever coup d'etat. On 24 February 1966, a combined force of the army and the police overthrew the country's first ever president, Osagyefo Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, 9 years after he accomplished the mission of independence from the British colonial masters. The 1966 coup happened when Dr. Nkrumah was pursuing peace in Hanoi, Vietnam. It is described by many as the bane of Ghana's development. This is because countries like Malaysia and India were at the same level of development with Ghana, but the coup came to widen the gap. Radio Ghana's Rita Ofosua Tete takes us through memory lane.
The 1966 coup was the genesis of the chain of military interventions which ended in 1992 when Ghana went multi-party in 1992. The event occurred when Dr. Kwame Nkrumah and his Convention People's Party were in unfettered control of affairs. Dr. Nkrumah as president had begun putting up massive development projects. The completed ones included the huge Akonsomo Dam, Valco, the Tema City and Motorway, Tema and Takoradi Harbors, and other projects still deemed important today. Many were those who loved Dr. Nkrumah and showered praises on him. When the country began facing socio-economic challenges, Dr. Nkrumah lost his popularity as many described him as a dictator and leveled other negative charges. On the 24th of February 1966, the army and police cashed in on the rising social discontent to end his rule. The coup makers, made up of British trained officers called the National Liberation Council NLC, were led by Colonel E.K. Kotoka. During that time, Dr. Nkrumah was paying an official visit to Chairman Mao in Beijing. Claimed the coup was to end corruption and change the constitution in order to get Ghana back on the democratic line. The announcement was made on the airwaves of the state broadcaster, GBC.
Fellow citizens of Ghana, I have come to inform you that the armed forces, in cooperation with the police, have taken over the government of Ghana. Parliament is hereby dissolved. The CPP has been disbanded, and it will be illegal for anybody to belong to it. Kwame Nkrumah and all his ministers are disbanded. dismissed from office. The myth surrounding Kwame Nkrumah has been broken today. I appeal to all civil servants to remain at their posts. Please stay by your radios for detailed information later.
The chairman of the National Liberation Council, Lieutenant General J.A. Ankrah, made his first broadcast to the nation this evening. He explained the reasons which necessitated the overthrow of the Kwame Nkrumah dictatorial regime, as well as the policies which the National Liberation Council intends to pursue to put this country on the right road to national prosperity. We bring you extracts of Lieutenant General Ankrah's broadcast.
One man has collected all power into his own hands with the pretentious claim that he enjoyed the unqualified and absolute support of the 7 million people of this country. This man was Kwame Nkrumah, Africa's number one tyrant and dictator. The rights of the people to vote at a free general election for their own chosen candidates were reduced to a formal and farcical privilege of sanctioning the election of such candidates as Kwame Nkrumah himself nominated. His love for the arbitrary use of power, as is well known to you all, led him to whittle away gradually the independence of the judiciary and to suppress academic freedom, fundamentals upon which the rights and freedom of the individual are based. He brought Ghana to the brink of economic disaster by mismanagement, waste, and unwise spending. Incomes are falling, the cost of living is rising. Unemployment has struck many families. The basic necessities of life are often either unavailable or can be obtained only at cutthroat prices. Yet, Ghana is rich in natural resources.
Security officials working under Dr. Nkrumah moved swiftly in an attempt to safeguard the country. Colonel Zeleregu, retired, is an 81-year-old man who was then the bodyguard of Dr. Nkrumah. Colonel Zeleregu told me he and other security men had prior information about the coup but could not communicate it to Dr. Nkrumah.
On the 21st of February 1966, we had a meeting with the Principal Secretary for Security Affairs for the President. He told us that there is a rumor that there is going to be a coup. And so he wanted to inform all of us. So he told us that he was warning us to be alert. And so when he said there is a rumor, I asked him whether I could bring some of my troops who were staying in Shire Hills, about 35 miles outside Accra.
During that time that you heard that there's going to be a coup, did you inform your boss, Dr. Nkrumah?
No, he had left the country for China. Oh, no. I did not. In fact, the one who could have done that would have been the principal secretary in charge of security. But not me. No. As a soldier, we don't go to that extent.
Dr. Nkrumah's family were immediately secured in a guard room and later flown to Cairo, Egypt. So, how did Dr. Nkrumah react to the news in Guinea where he had gone to seek asylum?
Fellow countrymen, men and women of Ghana, once again, I speak to you from Conakry on Radio Guinea's Voice of the African Revolution. In Mexico today, I told you that the treacherous anti-police rebellion in Ghana was instigated and sponsored by neo-colonialist enemies of Ghana. These enemies will be on the stand of Ghana against imperialism and neo-colonialism.
The 1966 coup ignited a debate on whether or not Ghana was better off with the timing and impact of that event. As the debate on the 1966 coup lingers, the generality of Ghanaians agree that military takeovers are a drawback to the country's democratic ascendancy and must be perpetually consigned to history.
That was a feature by Rita Fosuatete on the 24th February 1966 coup, which occurred 46 years ago. Meanwhile, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah's overthrow has been captured in so many books with many political twists. Many others who witnessed the event also have varying versions on how and why it happened. KB Asante was a presidential staffer who worked closely with Dr. Nkrumah at the then seat of government, Flagstaff House. He analyzes the factors which led to his overthrow in this interview with Radio Ghana's Rosemary Gazy.
Naturally, he was a human being, and the assassination attempts made him more cautious and began not to trust everybody around him. And then those who were planning planted stories about those who were helping him. So it made things difficult for him. But you see, a dreamer like Nkrumah wants people to work for him. So he had a dream, but somebody must do it. And people like Adamafew, he relied a lot on Adamafew, who was later accused of treason. So eventually he had to rely on people who were not that focused or who did not share his views, who perhaps will be more in tune with what Kankanyame will say and so on.
We hear many Ghanaians celebrated his overthrow, but can you tell us what was the real situation?
Quite clear that people celebrated. Because, you know, there was some hardship. At Champon's time, we used to talk about essential commodities, milk, sugar and things, which the few in Accra thought were very important, and they were unhappy. Of course, there were other things which were short, and people were generally unhappy. Then a few things like the Preventive Detention Act was unpopular. Not only that, it was misused by some of Nkrumah's aides. People were detained without knowledge of Nkrumah. As usual, our prisons officers are officials. Sometimes we are afraid of politicians. A politician takes somebody to the jail and says, put him in. Osagyefo says he should come. Instead of demanding that the legal process was fulfilled, a prison governor should not take anybody in except on the strength of a court order or a preventive detention act signed by Kwame Nkrumah himself. And after the coup, we found many people should not have been maintained. And that's why the coup makers will highlight the bad things which they've come to remove. So many people were joyous and were happy.
Mr. Asante, you were on his errand. How did the news get to you? And how did you react to it?
Oh, Diallo Telly, who was then Secretary General, came to me and said, this has happened. Asked me what he should do. So I said, he should do nothing for the time being, for next 4 hours. Because we got to know that they were attacking Flagstaff House. And I knew that we had a very good officer, Colonel Zanri Group, and he would defend it. Also, I happened to know some of the security arrangements. At that time, I didn't know Bawa had been killed. 4 hours later, we found that the coup had more or less succeeded. It happened that around about that time, there was an OAU meeting. They were on their way to Hanoi when it happened. So he sent the foreign minister, Queen Saki, to represent him as the legitimate government of Ghana. And then the military government also sent another delegation. And so there was a problem. The OAU didn't know what to do. And I told the Alotelli to hold on. And that Nkrumah's delegate may not come. And he didn't come.
So when was the last time you communicated with Osagyefo whilst you were in Addis Ababa?
It was 3 weeks before the coup. I communicated with him in person. And I left.
That was the last time?
That was the last time. I never met him again. About going to Hanoi, I asked him not to go. And he said, people say he can do much. I said, no, this is big power politics. And I don't think he'll be able to make a successful intervention.
Did you foresee this coming?
No. To frankly, I was only thinking of the Hanoi trip. And I thought he wouldn't succeed. It was something which the Americans were bent on doing. It was a major policy. And Nkrumah would not be able to modify it as he wanted to.
Did the overthrow of Nkrumah silence him and perhaps members of his government?
Yes, it challenged many of them. One minister said in Nkrumah's time, and they became gaping sycophants. Unfortunately, there were only a few who stood firm by him. Again, it shows an unpleasant side of our character. I would have expected a few close political allies to be strong and say something good about him and to criticize the coup, but we all kept quiet.
How did you leave the scene after Addis Ababa?
I was invited by the military government. Now, when the coup occurred, my house was surrounded and the soldiers went in to arrest me. When the children told them I was away, they didn't believe it. I was away. I think they had the orders, obviously, who there were certain people who were close to Nkrumah who should be arrested. And I was in. Then, strange, it was the military government which invited me to come back to Accra.
You heard KB Asante, once a presidential staffer who worked closely with Osagyefo, in that interview with Rosemary Gezi.